I love Notions, and I'm guessing that you do too. Hey there, friend, it's Carolina Moore, your favorite sewing and quilting YouTuber and now podcaster, here with another episode.
So I'm doing another live episode here at the H&H show, and this is the last day of the show, so we're all a little wired from being here, but I'm sitting with Julie of Off the Wall Quilts. And this show is actually the first time I've gotten to meet you in person, but we've known each other online for ever, years.
Yeah, for sure.
So this is really fun to get to sit down with you and get to monopolize some of your time for a little bit to have this conversation and learn a little more about you. So Julie, if you would introduce yourself and like, what's your origin story?
Oh, my story is kind of crazy. Okay. So, Off the Wall Quilt, was an accident. Actually, and I started quilting accidentally, and people don't believe me until I tell them this crazy story.
Okay.
I was an embroiderer, a machine embroiderer.
Yes.
And my sister was turning 50, and I digitized pictures of her as an infant, as a young adult, and then turning 50.
Okay, when you say digitized pictures, what does that mean?
You take a photo and you make it into stitches that your embroidery machine is going to stitch out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It takes a lot of practice.
So you're taking the pixels and turning it into thread.
There you go. Yes. And I was doing it a lot then. I was pretty good at it, so it came out really cool. And I got ready to embroider it, and I don't really know much about sewing either. At that point, I didn't. And I had a picture in my head of the kind of fabric I wanted to put it on.
Okay.
And I had been walking around for 20 years with my friend that quilted, but I was never going to be a quilter. So she was out of town, and so I went to a quilt shop, and they didn't have anything even close. They only had quilting cotton, as you'd expect. So I don't know why I did this. I went over to Goodwill and started looking around on all the racks.
Okay.
And I found a chair cover, one of those that you pull down over
like a
folding
cover?
Chair. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was exactly what I wanted. Well, people have told me since then that's called jacquard.
Jacquard. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a, it was
the weave of the fabric.
Texture and stuff that I liked.
Yes.
Yeah. So I took it home and took all the seams out, and you have this really weird shaped piece of fabric, and I embroidered my sister's face right in the middle of it, and it came out beautiful. And then I had my sister's face embroidered in the middle of a weird piece of fabric.
Yes.
And I didn't know what to do. So I realized I'd have to cut it down to some kind of rectangle.
Yes.
And it would need probably a border around it.
Okay.
So I jumped online, and this is back in 2010, I think. And I figured out how much to trim it and do some stuff. And I realized I learned what a quilt sandwich was. I'd need some batting and layer on the back. But I didn't know how to do the borders. Well, I decided to jump into a class called Angle Play by Margaret Miller. She has her own line of templates called Angle Play that we now own, by the way. But I grabbed my machine and went up to her class. And okay, just in case anybody ever thinks they're going to blow it, I forgot my cord for my machine.
Oh, I've done that.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
It doesn't go without it.
No, it just won't go anywhere. So the shop lent me one. I had used a rotary cutter, but I was really dangerous with one and had no clue what a quarter inch seam was. So Margaret was a great teacher, and I looked, thank goodness there were a lot of people in class, so I just watched what everybody was doing too. And I learned enough in that class that I came home and made a border that I still look at, and it's really cool, with all elongated triangles.
Okay.
With sharp points. And I put that on that quilt, and I looked up how to bind it even, and quilted it all from just nowhere.
So you quilted it on your domestic machine.
Yeah. I didn't know about those big ones. So, well,
sure.
And it's just a wall hanging anyways. But then I went back online to thank somebody in a group that I had learned, gotten some good links from, and to thank them. And somebody posted on this general board, look at my quilt. I entered it in the McCall's Design Star contest.
Okay.
And I thought, well, if she can enter hers, I can enter mine.
I love the confidence of a beginner, right?
Exactly.
And I wish we kept that confidence throughout our entire journey.
Yeah. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that, because that was a big deal to me. So I went on, and I saw it was juried, and I thought, oh, they'll see it's a beginner, and they won't. It won't even get in. Okay, but all you did was upload pictures, so it was no big deal. I uploaded them, and I was chosen as a finalist.
And this was this quilt that you'd done of your sister?
Yes.
So this wall hanging, your very first quilt, you entered it in the McCall's Design Star contest, and you made it into the finalists.
Yes.
That's incredible.
That's why I say I accidentally started quilting.
Sure.
So the deal was you had to make more quilts. Well, that was a problem.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how to do it. So my friend, thank goodness, came home from her vacation, and you could have somebody else help you with the piecing. I just had to do the designing. So they had fun stuff. They'd send you like a bundle of fabric and say, you can only use this. You can't add any more, and you have to make a quilt.
Okay.
And we kept winning rounds, and they would send us boxes of stuff, of prizes. Boxes. I didn't know what any of it was. Books, fabric.
So now you have a sewing room
scissors.
Just to store all this stuff.
It was like Christmas every time. And so we made it to the final round, the top eight.
Yes.
And I didn't win it or anything, which wasn't a
surprise. Still, that's incredible.
So I had quilts in magazines, published in magazines, and won prizes before I learned how to quilt.
I love this.
Is that crazy?
I absolutely love this story.
So I guess I've been a designer before I was a quilter. And then along the way, I was picking stuff up, and I thought, well, I really should learn to quilt now. And
now that I've
in a contest. So I realized what it was, that there's different styles of quilts.
Yes.
And what I am not is a traditional quilter. I love to look at traditional quilts, but somebody's already made those.
Okay.
So I really like to make my own. The other thing I realized is I can design a quilt and I can write a pattern, but I cannot follow a pattern.
Okay.
I'm always thinking of a better way to do it or to rearrange it a little bit. So it's kind of funny because a lot of people don't get that because they only do patterns and I only undo patterns. So
you only undo patterns. It's hilarious.
So that's been fun. And so now I am quilting. And we did end up buying Miller quilts from Margaret Miller. And we started with angle play quilts. Still my favorite thing because you can make those great elongated triangles mm-hmm. with very little effort. And I start beginners on it all the time. And I always say you get a lot of bang for your buck. So that's something to check out is angle play quilts.
Especially when you're a beginner, when you get to make a quilt that is easy for a beginner to make.
Yes.
But that people say, oh, you made that. And then you say it's your first quilt. They go, oh my gosh, for your first quilt, it's so impressive. And you get that confidence,
you
that
do.
Boost of like, oh yeah, I can do this.
Yeah. And people would look at it and they'd say, why are your points so sharp? And I'd be like, well, duh, it's a triangle. I had no idea that what I did was really good.
The number of times that most of us have cut the points off of our star quilts, it just, yeah, you get used to it or you just try to get better to maybe, but still, I mean, yeah.
So that was fun.
It's tough. But.
And so I kept creating and designing stuff. And I had said to my friend during this whole contest, are there any rules about quilting I need to know? And poor thing, she says to me, I'm sure I can sew anything you can design. And it wasn't until years later she told me that she learned a lot that summer. But so I made some that had to be paper pieced, and I didn't even understand what paper piecing was. I had never done it. But people explained it to me, and I got it. So I was designing paper piece patterns before I ever tried. I just tried it last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just started learning it. So it's just kind of funny. I've just done everything backwards. But that's one of the things I like.
Who says what's backwards and forwards?
Exactly.
Just because everyone else has done it in one direction doesn't mean that that's the right direction. Like, it's not traffic. We don't all have to go the same way. And do you know what's on the other side of the freeway? People going the other direction.
Yes.
Traffic actually does go both ways.
And I tell people that a lot, that that's what I love about quilting, is there's more than one way to do every single thing that we do. So if you tried something and you didn't like that, learn it from somebody else or watch somebody else's video and try it a different way.
Yeah.
And you might be surprised, or you might decide you really do hate doing it and just don't do it then. Just don't. I meet people that never use a rotary cutter. And I can't imagine.
So do they use an AccuQuilt or
they
do
use
they cut with scissors?
Scissors.
So they do templates and scissors?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So it's just, but it works. They make beautiful quilts too.
Yeah.
Nobody ever looks at a quilt and goes, whoa, they didn't use a rotary cutter.
You can't tell.
No.
I've judged quilts. I've judged quilt contests. There's no way for me to know if someone used a rotary cutter or an AccuQuilt or scissors.
Yep.
Or if they ripped their fabric.
Yeah. If it works for you, you should do it. But the thing about confidence is I was crazy at first. I just designed quilts. I look at even now and go, I can't believe I did that. I've been quilting a year. But then I started learning the rules and went to some shows that were judged and stuff. And I started to lose confidence. I wasn't good enough. My stuff was crazy. It didn't follow any, lines or, and then I wondered, I missed that beginner confidence. And I wondered if I'd ever get that creativity back, because that level of creativity is insane. I think of something and I just make it. But then as I learn rules and stuff, I think you can't do that. And it has come back. It has come back. But I had to do it deliberately. I needed to recognize that I was struggling with that. And I was letting other people's, they weren't doing it on purpose, but what other people did, their standards and their ways of doing things, I was letting that trip me up. And so I still do that sometimes. I think, oh, nobody ever does that. The quilt I just made only has binding on three sides.
And what does the fourth side have? It's folded over?
It's falling apart.
Oh, okay.
It was for the Cherrywood Monarch. Mm-hmm. Question, and it's going to be too far out there. You're not going to see it in their contest, because I can tell you, it's a perfect monarch on one side, and it's fading, and then it falls off the quilt.
Okay.
And my stuff's lots of times, I get it, people just look at it and go, that's really out there. But that, I actually went back and undid that side. It was very traditionally finished.
Yes.
And I went, that's not what I'm trying to say with this. So I went and took
so
it
So you're
apart.
Really an artist quilter.
I prefer art quilting, yes. I do things that are not art quilting for my customers to be able to use templates for what they need it for. But my joy and my creativity is really in art quilts, just throwing stuff together.
So when did you turn quilting into a business then?
Really early on. We bought out Miller Quilts in 2013. So I'd only been quilting about 3 years.
Okay.
And Margaret had invited me to become a certified angle play instructor.
Okay.
And so I went and we became friends through that. And then she asked if we would like to buy her business.
Yep.
And so we did. That's a real problem too. As soon as you own a quilt related business, you're considered a professional quilter.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well,
and so I had to hang my quilts up in our booth in public, and that was probably the best thing that could happen to me.
Yes,
because you know what, everybody comes and looks at them real close, and everybody feels obligated to critique them for me.
Oh, and that's rough.
Yeah, and you just learn that it's just people's opinions. Judges are just individuals with an opinion and
yes.
some training to look for certain things. But individuals who are coming to your booth, they just have an opinion. And it doesn't bother me. I've had people come up and tell me, this is the ugliest quilt I've ever seen.
Oh, no. And do they know at that point that you're the one who made it?
I don't think they're always aware of that. But it opens a conversation is how I see it. I was taught way back in sales is that when people complain or tell you they don't like something, they're giving you the chance to justify it. So those are the people you can have a conversation with.
See, I've learned that the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference.
Yeah.
So it's, and love and hate are so closely intertwined.
Yes.
And you see that a lot of time in marriages, like people love each other and then they don't usually, like, there's not really a period of indifference. They hate each other. And there's these really messy divorces, right? Because love, that big passion, the big passion's still there. It's just not channeled through love. The big passion is now hate. And
yeah.
that's why they're so close. So if someone really hates something, they have passion for it. And it's much easier to translate that passion towards love or channel it towards love.
And, yeah. and that's how I see it now, too, is that, wow, my quilt really provoked a reaction in
yes.
that person. And that's what art is.
Yes.
You know? So now I say to people, what is it about that quilt that bothers you? And you know what's funny? Lots of times it's the color.
Oh, well, that's, I mean,
people just don't like
you don't
color.
Have to make it in that color.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And one lady, she said, I remember she's in a motorized wheelchair and she could raise it up and down.
Yes.
So she's just going along at street level, I guess. And she stops, screeches to a stop in front of her booth, pops up, raises her chair up. So I have this funny picture of her in my head. But she goes, I hate pointy quilts. I'm almost on the floor laughing. I go, anything else you hate? And she goes, I guess that wasn't very nice. But I have tried to make triangles and I just can't do them. And I go, well, you just wheel yourself right over here. And
so I'm she gonna, didn't hate pointy quilts. She hated how much she struggled
exactly.
with making quilts that had points.
Exactly. And if I had taken offense,
sure,
we would have both missed an opportunity because you know what? She bought my whole set of angle play templates and went off excited to make pointy quilts.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. And that's why I love what I do. You know, it's really helping people to do something they don't think they can do, to be successful. And, you know, everybody, and not just women, because we get a lot of male quilters, too. And in life, men are just as uncertain. They just bury it better than
sure.
women do.
Sure.
And so if we can help anybody to be confident and to understand their own artistry, just because it doesn't look like that person's over there or it's never worn a ribbon, anybody really can create something out of nothing.
Yes.
You know? Paper, glue, fabric, you know, and
yeah. So I know Off the Wall Quilts as a company that makes templates for all kinds of quilters. So if there's a quilter, even whether they're an industry quilter or whether they're a hobbyist quilter and they have an idea and they just want a couple made or they want hundreds, thousands made, then they can come to you to take this paper template that they're using and turn it into an acrylic piece that they can use over and over and over.
Yes, especially if you're doing more than one something. I always trim my paper template somehow every cut and they get smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
So the acrylic's really good. And we have just added to ours about 6 months ago now a product called Easy Grip. And it's ours. It's a patented product that is very pleasant to touch. Gives a little texture to the bottom of your templates, but they don't slide. You can slide them into place, but then any weight, your finger on them will hold them while you cut.
So, I mean, there are rulers out there that don't have anything on the back and we put like sticky dots and whatnot on the back to make them grip. But usually those sticky dots aren't super clear. So you're careful about where you put those dots to make sure that your ruler still stays clear. And then there's like adhesive sprays that you can spray on the backs of your rulers. And then some rulers come with grip. So you have a grip and it's across the entire top to bottom or the entire bottom of the ruler. So it's not in strips of grippy. The whole thing is grippy. And it's super clear that you can see right through it, right?
You can. And we've been doing some fun testing with it. So, like, I've been running them through my dishwasher.
Just because?
To see if it was going to come off. I'm trying to see if it's going to stay on. And even with a hot, dry cycle. And it's funny because you open the dishwasher at our house, you never know what you're going to find in there. And, and it's not clouding up. It's not coming off. So then I, this is funny, I put some in the freezer. And I was going to leave them in there overnight. And I put them in the freezer at work in our warehouse.
Okay.
And then, of course, the next day I'm packing to go somewhere and I forget. And we went to Hawaii. So it was 2 weeks before I got back to it. And my daughter says, she works for us. She goes, Mom, can you take those rulers out of the freezer? Nobody else can use the freezer. I said, oh, sorry, I forgot. So I went and got them out. Now, usually with acrylic, because we've gone to shows in the far north where it's very cold. And when they freeze, they shatter if you drop them. Shatter like glass.
Yes.
And so I just took one out, walked out of our break room and just dropped it on the cement floor in the warehouse. Nothing happened. So I picked it up and I threw it on the floor. Well, now all our staff is gathering around and laughing because I'm throwing rulers around, you know, and they just didn't even break. Now, we don't advertise it. Easy Grip is keeping rulers from breaking, but wow.
And I wouldn't advocate throwing rulers.
No, but it was kind of fun.
But sure.
But anyways, that, you know, and that's not really the point of it, but it does seem to help it. You know, when you just hit it against something and you've shattered a ruler or
something. I have a couple of rulers with some nicks on them that I just use the other side of them.
Yeah.
But because the rulers aren't cheap. And also, no. I mean, I bought it to last a lifetime. And so it kind of should, but that, you know, I've taken them to a retreat and then they've fallen out of my bag. Yeah. And so they got dinged on one side and
So it does help. And you know, that's the other thing with our rulers too, is our lines on our rulers are etched. Cause I've had a favorite ruler that was silk screened and I've worn off the lines and you simply can't use it anymore. So, and when we add color to our rulers, which we do, that's UV printed, which is very permanent. So you're not going to rub that off.
Yep.
And that's the reason why we, and then the Easy Grip stays on. So that's why we test them and throw them in the dishwasher. We freeze them. Oh, we're from Florida. We make these in Florida. So we throw them in the hot car just to see what happens to
it. I lived in Vegas and I've ruined more than one rotary mat by leaving it in the back seat.
Yes. They have to. In fact, when we moved from Washington State 6 years ago to Florida. The first thing we put in our pods were all my cutting mats.
So they were flat on the bottom.
Yeah. We used them just on the bottom. And my husband's like, oh, they're going to get dirty. And I was like, you know, we'll wash them. We washed them.
Yep.
They were fine. But yeah, I was really worried I was going to ruin all my cutting mats when we moved.
And those really big mats are not cheap.
No.
And if I'm going to spend more money on quilting, you know, I want to spend it on something that I am consuming, like fabric or a new ruler, not the same like cutting mat that I already have.
So when we switched to Easy Grip and we started switching all our rulers over, we had a plan for the first, I think about 50 of them that we're going to start putting them in production. And then we turned to customer requests. So everything we produce now is customer driven. So we're coming out with new rulers all the time because customers asked us for them.
Oh, great.
So it's really fun. And the other thing we do is a customer will come sometimes, like you're saying, and they just want one thing. Here's a good example. A woman named Connie came to us and she really wanted to make a Texas Star, which I didn't even know what it was. And She said, they're so hard to make. But I want templates. So we looked it up. And my husband, by the way, is an engineer, works for the Boeing company on airplanes for 30 years.
Yes.
So it's kind of an unusual service that we offer. He does all the design work.
Yes.
So you're getting, your points are going to be perfect. Your angles are going to be exactly, everything's going to match up. He's very meticulous. You know, AKA he drives me nuts, but he's great. He's great at that stuff. But Connie came to us and we're figuring out how to do these stars. And Rick kept redesigning, you know, you do them with paper and stuff first. And he's cutting me some and he had a set and he goes, this has to work. There's no other way you can do it. So I played and played and played. And on about the 10th star, I figured out it was the order. If you do it in a specific order, it works perfectly. If you take it out, you know, sync it all one step, it doesn't go together right.
Oh, interesting.
So I have this whole pile of wonky stars. It's pretty funny. I should make them into a quilt.
That'd be a great quilt.
Yeah. So, and I made them out of scraps. They're really crazy. So we finally got this, and we sent Connie's star to her. Mm-hmm. She got it free because it was her idea, and we named it Connie's Texas Star.
Oh.
So people find, and people buy it a lot on our website, and the thing we tell them is watch my video and do it, do what I do. And another friend and I were just going around and around because she kept telling me that my templates didn't work. They didn't work. And I said, did you follow my directions? Did you follow my video?
Yeah.
She goes, well, I haven't done that yet.
So, well... It's like the people who find a recipe online and, you know, it requires sour cream and they didn't have that. So they just used milk and, you know, they needs eggs. They didn't have that. So they just substituted that with peaches. Yeah. And gosh, this thing, it just didn't turn out right
awful.
At all.
That's that template. But it's really fun. It's actually easy. And, you know, when you follow my sequence, you're just like you're going, you're just doing this. So and it's done. The whole thing's together. And it really looks paper pieced. I still look at that one and go, that's just amazing that we figured that out.
Now, I think I saw, correct me if I'm wrong, that if there's a pattern that I make over and over and over again that has paper templates and the designer has put like paper templates in there, that I can reach out to you and you'll connect with the designer to get permission from the designer to be able to make an acrylic set for that?
Yes. Either you can talk to the designer and get permission for one set and we need to see it like on an email or in writing and we'll make that set for you and we won't ever make another one without permission. But lots of times we reach out to a designer and they say, oh, I didn't know where to get acrylic templates made. And so we can produce them then for that designer so he or she could sell them. So it works both ways. But we are so strict with ourselves. We will not make templates for a pattern that somebody else wrote. Unless it's a basic shape. I mean, if you want a 6-inch square, we'll make you a 6-inch square.
Sure.
But we respect people and we treat other people the way we want to be treated. We don't care if somebody else will make them for you and cheat. We won't do it.
I mean, so it's just the right way to go about things. And I also think that, I mean, this industry is really, really small, but it's also really, really big. We don't know everybody, although sometimes it feels like we do.
Yeah.
So it's nice to reach out to someone and say, hey, I've got a customer of yours who also wants to be a customer of mine and wants me to make these acrylic templates for them of your pattern. Are you okay with this? And then now you are working with the designer as well, maybe to make more of them. Or the designer says, yep, that's great. And now they have an even happier customer who gets to use acrylic templates to make that pattern that they love.
Exactly. And again, Rick, my husband, goes over, you know, all the pieces. And he's actually been able to help a couple pattern designers get their shapes improved.
Oh, wow.
And they're going, oh, I wondered why we struggled with this so much. And he's like, okay, because you need to shift this angle to make this angle work. And so we can help, you know.
That's so fun.
It's pretty cool. And we often get people for the templates that come to us with scribbles on napkins. Or he just designed a knitting ruler for somebody.
Oh, really?
By talking to her. It's Pam DeMore, and she makes socks all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they sat and talked.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick, who doesn't knit at all.
Sure. Neither do I.
And he went and made a drawing, and they went back and forth a little bit. And the new template's going into production now.
That's so great.
And just from a conversation with him. So we really want to stress with people that you don't have to be a professional, you know, drawing artist and get everything right. We're going to check it. And we can usually make stuff work for people or even make it better. People say, oh, I was afraid to ask for that. Or, oh, I didn't think of that.
Right.
And it's fun. That's the part of the business we love, the creativity and doing all that. So, people shouldn't be afraid of their ideas. Somebody can help you get it going if you can't quite get it. And sometimes it does take a rocket, you know, scientist. And
Sometimes it does take a rocket scientist. That's hilarious.
We always like, he's not really a rocket scientist, but he did.
Close enough.
Well, he worked on the space shuttle.
There you go.
Yeah, so he did work with NASA on that. So we joke about that all the time. Hey, we need a rocket scientist over here. This isn't working.
That's great.
So, yeah, we just have a lot of fun with the templates. And because I love to teach and lecture, too, using our products. And, again, like we talked about, helping people to have confidence that they can step outside of what they've been doing. And I have to tell you about my friend that I quilted with.
Yes.
She never made another traditional quilt after that summer.
Really?
Yeah. She was making crazy stuff because she'd been doing it with me quietly, not telling me that she'd only ever followed patterns mm-hmm. and made traditional quilts.
But there's nothing wrong with that. If
there
you
isn't.
Love following a pattern and you make these traditional quilts and that's where your joy is, yay.
Yes.
And then if you discover something else and now that's where your joy is,
you can totally
yay.
Shift around. Yeah. Yeah. And you can mix. I love, I teach a border class, and in that, I mix modern and art and traditional. And I just love taking like a traditional block and breaking it in half and making it into a border and doing something like that. And I get people that are just in classes. They're so excited. They're like, I never thought about taking what I already know and just cutting it in half. You know, as simple as that.
You have my brain buzzing right now with, ooh, what are things that I can just chop in half and make a whole thing out of?
Yeah. And, lots of times when you want to make an interesting border on a quilt, I'll give away one of my things I talk about in my lecture.
Sure.
Is take a block that's already in your quilt and change the colors and put it in as a border.
Okay.
And you could get, I have some examples in my book, and they're so easy. One is just all the same board, the same block for the whole quilt, but the outside row is done in, we flip the colors.
Oh, interesting.
And it looks like there's a really cool border on that quilt.
Well, there is a really cool border
there
on
is.
That quilt.
But it was just so easy to do. You didn't even have to rethink anything. Just, it was a two-color quilt and two-fabric quilt, and we just switched the fabrics.
That's incredible.
So, yeah. You can do fun and easy stuff. And lots of times in my class, I feel like what I'm just really doing is giving people permission to try something new. Somehow we feel like somebody has to tell us it's okay.
So you're talking about teaching classes. So guilds can hire you and shops can hire you to come out and teach workshops?
Somewhat, yes. We're trying not to travel so much.
That's right.
After 27 shows, and I'm counting all the classes I taught last year.
Oh, wow.
I was, and then we started the year by doing, I think we did 7 shows in 8 weeks or something like that.
Mm.
And I wasn't having fun. And we don't do this unless we're having fun, because then we're just grumpy salespeople.
Right.
You know, so we always try to be the most fun booth at the show. And my classes are fun. I start my classes by telling people, if you're not having fun, it's my fault, not yours.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're frustrated, it's my fault. That's the teacher's responsibility. And I'm really good at ripping.
Yes.
So I rip stuff for my students so they can just keep sewing and keep going on. There's a reason I'm good at ripping, but a lot of practice.
Yes.
But yeah, quilt classes should be fun. So yeah, I do try to get out and teach. I'm teaching a couple shows down by Daytona next month. And it's fun because I'm finally home long enough to teach at some of my local shops.
Oh, that's fun.
I didn't even know these shops were there because we're gone so much. So yeah, we're trying
to move to Florida and then just started travel quilting. And
yeah.
Yep.
We actually moved in the middle of quilt season. So we did shows.
You're a glutton for punishment.
We ran out. We're really organized, though. That helps. We moved our stuff to Florida, but left our show van and truck in Oregon.
Okay.
Flew back up there and picked it up and did 7 shows.
On the way down.
On the way back to Florida. Yeah. Yeah. And in the middle of that, we even flew home. My daughter was there trying to set up the house and was lonely. And so we had a few days between shows. So we jumped on an airplane and went. And
because now you dumped her in Florida and she knows nobody. And she's just setting up the house. And
yeah. We were surprised when we decided to go. She wanted to go. And she was only, well, it's been 6 years. So she was about 24 or so, mm-hmm. 25. And at that age, it's so hard to make friends.
Yes.
You know, you're not in school. If you're not working a job with other people. So she did some other jobs for a while, too, mostly to make some friends.
I say when we were kids, you would go to the playground and you say, oh, you have a red shirt. I have a red shirt. We should be friends.
Yeah.
And it's that simple.
It's hard now.
And if I were to go to the park now and see another person who, you know, looks
relatively like someone, like if I walked up to them and said, hey, you have a red shirt, I have a red shirt, let's be friends, they would turn around and walk away because I would sound like
who is
a crazy
that in that
person.
Case?
Yeah. Like, this is maybe not, there's so many, like, we want to know, like, what are your hobbies? Like, what is your time? Like, yeah. Are you someone who's going to monopolize my time? Like, are there some political differences that are going to become a problem? There's so many other things that we look at. We just can't pick friends on the color of their shirts anymore.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that's why a lot of us turn to quilt classes and quilt shows and stuff, because we want to go and make some friends. And I want the shows to become more fun and to be more social oriented, where there's opportunities to make those friends.
Yes. Where you're walking with people in the aisles and you're getting to know them and learn about them and chat. And yes.
We recently had these two ladies in our booth. And one of them is just so enthusiastic about our Easy Grip rulers. And she goes, this is such a good one. You really need this one. And I'm thinking they're good friends, you know. And
yes.
And they had just met up at lunch. And the one lady had one of our rulers sticking out of her bag. And the second lady asked her about it. They just sat at the same table. They didn't know each other.
That's so great.
And they came over to our booth together. They were shopping together. And they went off just talking and giggling. And I thought, I hope they stay connected.
Right?
You know, because...
But even if they don't, like, it's okay to make these, you know, friendships for a day because we have this connection of you love quilting, I love quilting. I'm here without anyone, you're here without anyone.
You just go with your heart warm.
And then maybe you stay in touch. But if you don't, you still have that day.
Yeah, and you want to go again next year to see if you find that person.
Right, and see if you run into each other in the aisles.
So that's what happened with my daughter, though. She made a few friends locally, but not real good friends yet. So once in a while, she comes to a show with us.
Mm-hmm.
And from going to some of the shows, she has now made some friends that, all across the U.S. now, because they're vendors and stuff who travel in, but kind of have her same mentality. They're hard workers. They're very creative. And so she's started going to some of the other cons. In Florida, there's every con, you know, in the world. And
yes.
So she's creating some stuff out of acrylic, too.
Oh, fun.
And, so also, she's really motivated to learn the programs and to use the lasers. And so we're really happy. We don't have to push because we want her to learn all that. And some of the stuff that she creates, I'm looking at it going, wow. I never would have thought of that. That is so cool. And she's got friends and she goes and works in other people's booths. And so, you know, creating and crafting brings us together.
It's like a community. It's like the quilt show circuit. I find it's very much like a circus, right? Oh. It's all these people, they're breaking down their booths and they're going to the next town and they're setting them back up again.
Yeah.
And it's crazy circus and we don't have a beard. Well, maybe there's a bearded lady or two. it's our crazy circus.
So we are like family. We'll help each other out. We fight like family, you know, you're over the line there, you know, and I'm sure I have a table you can borrow. In fact, I borrowed a table here. Somebody drove some tables up for me and we take other people's stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. So a funny thing happened when the whole COVID thing happened. We were actually at a show, the show down. We were at a show in Atlanta and they shut us down in the middle of the show and sent us home.
Oh, wow.
And no more shows. So I just started wondering, though, about all our friends, all our vendor friends. We don't keep in touch except for at shows.
Sure.
So I started a Facebook group and invited 7 or 8 vendors that I was friends with on Facebook. And the group is about 500 now.
Mm-hmm.
And and you're on that group. And
I'm in that group as well.
And you can learn anything about a show that you want, more than you want to know.
I did a couple booths last year. I did Long Beach Quilt Festival and then I did Santa Clara last year. And that group was invaluable for me. Like, I'd never done a show before. What do I need to know? What are these things? Like, the contract says this thing. Is that real?
Yes.
And the number of people who had never read the contract and said, wait, what?
Yes.
That's not real.
And this week I asked people to list their website if they sell wholesale to other vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm blown away. That is, when you get a chance, go in and look at that list, what people wholesale and the people in that group. So this is going to be a fun way that we can get more of each other's products out to customers.
Yeah.
Because those of us who sell at shows, it's actually very limited. We can't get to every show.
No. And I'm impressed by those of you, because you travel the entire U.S., like, I only did 2 shows on the West Coast because I live in San Diego. I can't imagine going all the way out to Pennsylvania and Tennessee and, like, Paducah. And, like, I'll fly to these events and walk the shows. But to, like, bring a whole booth of stuff.
Yeah, it does become a routine. The setup isn't hard. My husband and I can set up a 30-foot booth in 4 or 5 hours. I mean, it's not. It's the driving in the van
that
gets so boring. We'll go out to dinner with people, and they're like, "Oh, you probably want to sit by your husband." And I'm like, "No, no, you don't understand. We just spent 3 days sitting next to each other in the van. We want to sit by somebody else."
That's so funny.
But yeah, it's fun. It is a lot of fun, but it is, like I said, kind of limited too. It's only people that come to the shows then that you see. So we have to make a real effort. That's why I teach. That's why I have a website and Facebook group and stuff. But what's funny to me is different areas of the country are different for quilting and sewing and stuff.
What do you find different areas of the country being different?
Okay, here's the funniest of them all, because I still do this on purpose now because it makes me laugh. So we used to be out in the Seattle area, and you know, lots of rabid Seahawks fans out there, and we enjoyed them too. And so one of my best ever selling patterns was a Seahawks pattern quilt. So it was green and blue. And I liked green and blue before I knew anything about football. It's always been my favorite color. It's a Northwest thing too. Everybody up there likes green and blue. And we would travel then as far as Arizona. And there's a lot of people in Arizona that also like the Seahawks. So our stuff sold really well. And I just have some cute stuff in green and blue. When we go to the East Coast, or now, if I put up a blue and green quilt, well, actually, so on the West Coast, when I have any blue and green, anything blue and green, people say, go Seahawks. If I put up anything green and blue on the East Coast, people go, well, those are interesting colors. Oranges sell a lot better, and browns and yellows sell a lot better on the East Coast, and blues and greens on the West Coast.
That's so funny.
It just fascinates me, and it makes me laugh every time. Like I said, I'll just throw a blue and green quilt up there to get the reactions and so I can laugh about them.
That's fun.
Or people will come by and go, wow, I never see quilts that color.
Right.
Isn't that funny? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just different.
Come to the left coast. We've got them for you.
Yeah. I mean, that's where all the green and blue fabric goes.
So what's next for you? What are you working on?
We are getting ready to release subscription boxes.
Oh, fun.
So you'll get some different rulers and templates and patterns every month.
That's so fun.
And we'll have videos to show you how to use and lots of cutting tips. I do a lecture and teach actually a 3-hour class on, it's called a cut straight, sew straight, press straight.
Okay.
And so a lot, and I've learned all this from observing students, hundreds and hundreds of students and what we struggle with. So I'll be sharing those tips each month too. And you'll be at home where you can practice it.
Okay, so I'll make sure to have links to that in the show notes so people can find out all about your subscription boxes. Yes. And also, where can they find you online?
Offthewallquilt.com. There's actually no S in our name.
Okay.
Offthewallquilt. Do you want me to tell you how that name came about? It's not what people think.
Okay.
People think it's because we're, you know, a little odd and quirky, and we are, so thank goodness it fits. And we've just kind of gone with that.
Is it your quilt wall?
Yeah, well, no, we had that name before we bought the design walls. I have obviously been a designer since the start. And my husband, everywhere we've lived, he just lines several walls for me with insulation board and flannel. And so I can use it for a design wall.
Yes.
And my husband and my kids, we always take the living room. We like to get a house with a formal living room, and that becomes my studio.
Okay.
Because we found that my husband and my kids want me to be off in another building or on another floor of the house.
Yeah.
So it works really good for me to be in the middle of the house. There's no closet in the living room. But so anyways, I always had all this design wall space, and I was always building quilts. Like I said, I didn't really follow patterns, and I'd build them on the wall as I went. Well, the rest of the family liked to walk through and rearrange for me.
They would come switch the blocks around when you weren't there.
So I learned to take a lot of pictures. But sometimes their idea, what they came up with was, they weren't just being goofy.
Yes.
It looked really cool. So some of my designs grew from that. So I never told them, don't do that.
Yes.
Oh, and we had exchange students all the time too, and they would always help a little bit too.
Help in air quotes, right?
Yes. So you keep rearranging, and it gets more and more exciting. But at some point, you have to take it off the wall and quilt it.
Yes.
So that's where our name came from.
Well, Julie, it's been so fun hanging with you. I hope everyone enjoyed this and that if they didn't know you before, they have also fallen in love with you. And if they already knew you, they've fallen even more in love with you. Go check out all of her amazing stuff. Reach out to Julie and her rocket scientist husband to help you out with all your quilting. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks. It's been fun talking to you. And I got to sit down during the show. I love it.
All right.
Friends, that's our episode for today. I hope you loved it as much as I loved having this conversation. I love learning all these tidbits and details about our favorite Notion designers and the stories behind our favorite Notions. Remember that you can find all the details that we talked about in the show notes, and those are all at ilovenotions.com. And make sure to leave this podcast a review in your favorite podcasting app. Leaving it a review will let people know that maybe they should listen as well, and it will help the podcast algorithm show this podcast to other people who love Notions just as much as we do. Friends, that's all I have for you today, but I will see you right here real soon. Bye for now.